Hebrew confession. The first thing we do is going to talk about the word Hebrew before we talk about what we're saying. The name of it is Hebrew, which translates English as confession. And I don't know, confession has some very non-Jewish type of connotations in our minds, you know. So let's talk about what the Hebrew word Hebrew means, actually means. Let's start with that. The word vidui comes, he's vidui, they have to say vidui. The word vidui is shared, I say thank you, I'm Modet, to admit. And that's an interesting one right there, right? It's every day, so that's what you say, Modim and Akhawah, we thank you. So if he's thank, he needs to admit, he needs to confess. Okay, so three interesting things right there, all the same words. And the fourth one, which maybe is the most defining of them, that the word, the hisbaros means to cast down, to throw somebody down. There's an, right. So, well, it gets us in the Aramaic, it's used like that a lot. We have it called Yoshir. So there's four usages of the word, and really, probably the most, the defining element of the three is the fourth one. One of the issues people have when I admit something is, or I'm saying thank you, is I'm recognizing that you're in a position of offering. Right? I had to come out to you for something. When I confess something, I'm lowering myself down to you. I'm saying, okay, I did something bad to you. I admit, etc. All of those are, there's an act of I'm lowering myself down. I'm casting myself down. And that's what's interesting, because the word Hebrew is always given in the reflection. You're not, the word to say Hebrew is the Hebrew. So if you're familiar a little bit with the Hebrew grammar. Okay? So there's this, every Hebrew verb, 95% of Hebrew verbs have seven conjugations. Okay? So there's the active and the passive. Active and the passive in a stronger language. Well, not all of them have that. Then there's causative. The active causative, the passive causative. And then the reflection. It's not causing it itself. Okay? It's a reflection. I'm lowering myself down. So through the act of lowering, I'm not to somebody else. That's lowering to myself. So the concept of healing is a recognition of where I am not where I should have been. I should have been here. This is my abilities. This is my potential. This is what I'm supposed to accomplish. And here I am here. So that's, maybe you can call it confession in English, but confession doesn't really give you the flavor of what's happening really. And it's interesting, look at the way we introduce the paragraph. Okay, God and God of our fathers, please let our prayers come in front of you, and do not ignore our supplication. Okay? Now, somewhere we just said, God, please listen to us. Let me show you this. We are not brazen-faced and stiff-necked. That we are righteous and we didn't do anything bad. But rather, we have done something bad. Now, why is this whole, you know, you don't find any other mitzvah when you say, like, so listen, we are not, because it was, don't accept the yoke of heaven, we do accept the yoke of heaven, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. We do not, it's time people don't put on filling, we do put on filling, not put on filling. Right? You don't have the introduction. We're not that type. We're this type, and we do these things. Other people say, we're not the type of people who don't admit. The type of people who do admit. why is it different than the Kedoshim? Why do we need to introduce it by saying we're not as a fun and brazen-faced people, who care and stiff-necked people, which say that we are we're righteous and not righteous. We don't. We're not that kind of people. We're the kind of people which do say we are. It's very interesting to watch. So I started Moshe Eisman has something very sweet safer called the Master Companion. Put up a horoscope, little booklet. So he has this question. Okay? And he says, with understanding that the word Bina means to cast down, but what we've just done is exactly that point. The real Bina is the nature of a person is to say, I don't want to accept the fact that I have a problem and I have an issue. So my first step is to say, no, I do have an issue. Right there, I've done Bina. I haven't done it, I haven't said any specific element yet, but I've changed the mindset and the mode how I addressed it. There's the people which are chariot, which are stiff-necked. Stiff-necked actually means, at some point in your life, you'll learn to the story of the sin of the golden calf, and God comes to Moses and he says, these people are stiff-necked people, right? So they're from going to destroy. So they, over there, one of the commentaries say, like, they sin. God comes to Moses and says, I'm going to destroy them because they're stiff-necked. No, I'm going to destroy them because they sin. Right? Doesn't say that. It says, sinning is not a problem. I don't mind if you sin. But if you're willing to admit that you made a mistake and work on it, then I can deal with you. So the guy says, he's stiff-necked, which means, right, when somebody speaks to him, somebody's calling him, he doesn't turn it. He doesn't respond. I don't go back and say, I hear a voice coming, I'm interested. Right? So the guy says, I'm willing to forgo the sin. But as long as you're not sick, as long as you don't ignore the call that I'm calling to. The message of the tipper is, God's calling to us and saying, listen, my friends, you have issues, let's work on that. If you respond, yes, I'm interested, we're in business. You say, no, I'm not interested, then we got a problem. The act of duty is that decision that I say, yes, I have issues, I have to work. That's it. That's all I have to do.
So you do that in, that's been contrasted lately.
In the Leno, we do it vis-a-vis other nations.
Yeah.
We don't remember doing it vis-a-vis ourselves.
Okay.
So, you know, we're not style A, we're style B. Now, I'm not the type of guy who does this, I'm the type of guy who does that. But then we say, you know, God didn't make us a portion of other nations, so they have X and we have Y.
Yeah, but it seems like sort of the same. I'm not someone who died to this.
Okay, but it's interesting because over there the main thrust is we are thanking God that he put us in the situation. Right? Over here we're talking about it's totally my job to do this. You find the same idea that the issue is not the sin but the response. I have to show you this. I have to show you this response. It's mind-boggling. So the story over here is that man is in the Garden of Eden, and he's eaten from the stuff he's not supposed to eat from, and God comes and says, okay, you have all these problems, etc. Okay. Now, where is he right now? He's still in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the tree good and evil.
Okay, now, so verse 22, God says, now man is like God, he knows good and evil. And now, lest he send forth his hand, means he grabs, he'll take from the tree of life, and eat them forever, and he sent them out. So why did he get out of the Garden of Eden?
He sinned.
No, it didn't say because he sinned.
Because then he was a pervert.
Because he's going to take from the tree of the tree of life. I can't trust this guy. I don't listen to him. So what's the problem? Don't take from it. I don't trust you. If you would have said, the matter says, the guy asked him, God told you, wanted the truth. Look, I told him, it's the word for truth. And Adam says, no, I don't want the truth. Now, it's a hint in the words. So that's the matter says. So you got to leave. I have no problem with just staying in the garden. You sin. You can still stay in the Garden of Eden. You're still in the Garden of Eden. You sin. No problem with that. As long as you straighten yourself out. Do you want to straighten yourself out? No, I'm not ready to straighten myself out. The medicine like this, what happened was, one of the explanations that's given is what happened was, God said, listen. Alright? If you stay in the Garden of Eden, and you listen to my second command, don't eat from the Sakayim, so you rectified your sin. Yeah, you listen to what I said. So you can stay. Do you think you can handle that? He says, no, I can't handle it. I'm afraid I'm going to eat. Okay, then you have to leave. Okay, so it was a nice conversation, an honest conversation, being honest with himself, etc. But the point was, the destruction and the what he lost wasn't for the sin, it was for the inability to correct himself out. So the same thing happened by the golden calf. The God didn't say I'm destroying the people because of the sin. He says, because if they're stiff-necked people and they're not going to do tshuva, then I have to destroy them. Then they deserve to be destroyed. So the punishment is never for the sin. It's the lack of the response afterwards, willing to correct it. And that's the act of beating. The act of beating is, okay, I did something wrong, I am now ready to recognize that, to deal with it. As long as I'm in the denial mode, it's so bad, it's okay, etc., I'm in the mode of CR. I can't deal with it. That's what the act of beating is, that recognition in yourself of the problem. I don't know why it took me so much. 3 years ago, I was reading this, and I said, like, 4 years ago. I've been reading this for years. It hit me. Like, the page is screaming at me. He didn't get kicked out. Everyone knows why he got kicked out of Gan Eden, because he did. It's not true.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of the things, like, you know, you're like, wow, why did he get that? Why did he notice it so much?
It's funny. You've got a whole half a book going through that section of the text that it didn't even go into
that. Is that who?
That Top Rabbiot.
Okay.
It didn't even go into that.
They missed this point. Didn't touch this point. There's a lot in the Torah. The Medrash says we actually says the word about Tov, and now about Tov means and now. Well, why? So the Medrash means Shuv. Why does now mean Shuv? Okay, so that's a different conversation. But it's a different time. It says, and the word ten means no. Ten means less. It also means no. So the conversation with God said about Torah and Shuva, and Adam says, Pen, no. You know, that's when the matter sees the story taking place over here. Interesting touch. Okay. So we've seen the first point of Vida is, it has to be introduced with to say, we're not out of the economy, Shara. What's an out of economy? Okay, brazen face. What is a brazen face person? Right? It's the same issue. So the Mishnah says in August that a nomer, a leopard, is an ass pun.
Brazen.
Why is a leopard brazen? Leopards are not uncomfortable sneaking up to the lion and taking away the lion's food. Right? The leopard doesn't know it's well. Right? So in English we call it mushy, right? Right? You know, when I'm talking to somebody and he's 20, 30 years younger than me, right? Now this is called attitude, right? Right? And I say, what's the problem? We call it chutzpah. What's chutzpah? Chutzpah is, you know, if the guy's 20 years older than me, it's not chutzpah. Right? I mean, it's only because if I'm in a position X and he's in a position Y, he doesn't recognize where he is, and he comes back and says that we're equal. It's called chutzpah. So the nomer there. It's called an act. The act on it is put. Right? The Mechutzen is a person who doesn't recognize where he, what his position was. Ah, you're on the Mishkat. Right? See, the Mechutzen is always used by a Rebbe with a talent and class. Teacher teaching something, the kid's going to give him that. Ah, that's what it's always used. That's the main, or the childhood parent. You're a Mechutzen. Right? Having chutzpah is not a bad thing to some extent. So, you know, I'm in a situation where, you know, I'm in an airport, right? And I got a daven mincha. I'm a mincha. So in the good old days, you know, in Europe, when you're worried about the repercussions of what's going to happen, we don't even know. Right? So the guy, some of the person who came to the American in the 50s, is a boy, she was in the 50s, and he was traveling home, he had a dominical, so he went to the phone booth, took the phone, and he's dominical, you know. You know, you're embarrassed to dominical in public. Right, that was his way of coming up, you know. An old person, so he, at work, you know, he used to wash his hands. You know, he's very comfortable going to wash his hands every day, you know, with the cup, the whole thing, for bread. So he put a plan on his office. And every day he would wash, go right away. He watered the plants, you know. Cover up, you know. You're not embarrassed that you're a Jew. In some society, I'm not advised, you have a great idea, and then all communist Russians would go public and say, hey, I'm a Jew, I wouldn't invite, right? You know, they actually have to have all, a little bit of intelligence you've got to get, you've got to have. But the idea that we live in a society where anything goes, this guy walks down the street wearing his, you know, his African garb, and that's okay. Okay, that's okay, you know, I'm proud of it. That's good to me, you know, believing your heritage and your tradition, that's good, you know. The story goes, every short kid, the story, he's on a bus, wearing his full Hasidic garb, and this woman, this Jewish woman actually, comes over to him and she starts, you know, berating him, you know, what you're doing is insulting to America, you're trying to be old-fashioned, and why are you standing out so much, and why you have to be different. She goes on. So he says, excuse me, ma'am, I'm Amish. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's so nice to be proud of your heritage, and it's good. You should believe in your heritage. And blah, blah, blah. He goes out, she goes, and says, by the way, I'm Jewish. And he's like, you know, that was a mistake. You know? So the idea of what's the problem, sir? What's the problem? One of the challenges we have, pride of what you are is okay. There's a certain amount of strength of your faith. Not for me. I don't have a problem with what you're staring back at my face. My faith is strong. I'll be strong. I have a strong faith. I don't mind if somebody's staring at me. I can handle somebody staring at me. That's okay. I don't care what you think about me. When that's the way the position where you're supposed to be. There's somebody who is above me, and I don't care what he thinks about me. I'll do whatever I want. I'm above you. That's good. So here we stand in front of the guy who says, listen, you know, we're not out of fun. We're not the type of guy who's going to not recognize our relationship. It's the relationship of a creator to one of his creations. I mean, there's no bigger chasm than such a relationship. And God came along for our good and gave us things to do, and we messed up. And here we are saying, you know, that's not bad. You know, there's no footprint. According to the Rambam, at that point in time we said to Peter, we and our father have sinned. Stop right there, you would miss. Right? The recognition of faith is a very important word. The word which is faith, then we start to get more involved in the detail. What do we hate me? Okay. Well, translating is a sin, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we sin, and there's three main words we're going to have to sin. Let's turn to page. There we go. Page 1304. We have three words for sin. This is what our kokatsu is saying, which is translated our unintentional sin. The simple and our color were in the same part of us for our intentional sin. Shabbat called Shoeno, our rebellion. So we have taste, oven, and passion. Taste, oven, and passion. And you'll see them again. They come up again throughout and our case. We were slap on the cover, the cover, the cover again. You'll have, man. Yeah. Here. Page 843. So, this is a quote from the language of the Bidui, the confession that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, said in the temple. Okay? This is what he said. Ona Hashem, please Hashem. And we're on it there again. Patasya Visi Pshati. I have sinned inadvertently, unintentionally. I've been iniquitous, okay? I've sinned intentionally. Pshati, I willfully sinned. From that point. Please forgive the Chatoyim, Lamanis, Lapshoy. Shechatosi, Shavisi, Shepashat. So we keep using these words. Take of an impression. Okay? But when we say Al-Khait Shechatom Al-Fanecha, we would talk about Khait. The main word we're going to talk about is Al-Khait Shechatom Al-Fanecha. We don't say Al-Khait of an impression, Shechatom. We keep using the generic word of Khait. You have more detail, there's take of an impression. The generic word is take. What does the word take mean? Okay. So the word take, it's in the law, does not mean sin. Okay? Rashi says in a few places in Kumash, the word take means lacking. Kosher, we're lacking. There's a void where there's supposed to be something filled. Okay? So Rashi brings an example and says that this is the beginning of the Book of Kings. So Bathsheba comes to David HaMelech and she says, you know, Shlomo's supposed to be the king after David passes away. That was the plan. The son of Adonijo already made a rebellion over here and he's claimed the kingship for himself. So she comes, nobody doesn't know about it, because he wasn't well, and he was secluded away in this private room, rested away, he's got private room over there, and he doesn't know about it, he doesn't know something about it. So they come and they tell him the story. She says, well, when we pass away, I and my son Shlomo will be Chazanim. I should know that the words were Chazanim. They're not sinners. These are going to be Chazanim. They're going to remove us. Some good knocking words for that. You take him out, right? You don't kill him. You just take him out of the way. I'm missing. There's a person who's here and he's missing. The word take means there's something missing. So the main word for sin is the recognition of that there's a hole in my liver soul where there shouldn't be. There's a void there. That's the generic word. The generic word hate is not sin. So sin again has a certain amount of connotation for sure. You picture the guy going into the confession over there, my father, I have sinned, because I was always dead, That's not what we're doing. We're recognizing that human beings have potential, I have potential, I want to help to accomplish, and I'm not anywhere near where I'm supposed to be. That's the recognition of take. Then within the specific terms, there's faith, there's love, and passion. I can do that just, it means, even though it says, the word take can mean unintentional sin. Which means, even though I didn't do unintentionally, that I'm not rebelling against you. But the reality is, there's something missing. I don't care why you did it. When I was in high school, I had certain health issues. So I ended up being, they gave me a deferral not to take gin. I never take gin. I wasn't able to handle the rigorous. So I came to 12th grade, then I ended up 12th grade. I don't know why I never hit this. They told me I'm missing a half of the, I'm missing one point or half a point I need to graduate. one in this one, so we didn't take Jim. And that, they added up, and it's just a point to graduate. I didn't have to take Jim. She said, yeah, you didn't have to take it, but you still don't have it. The point isn't there. I don't know why, even the reason why you didn't do it, but you still don't have it. Right? You know, so I had to find some way to make up that point. You know, they did some type of reason. The report memories is, you know, they gave me credit for it. Fine, you know. Like, you're not going to graduate for once to the point. It's supposed to something. It's like,
strong.
You know, it's something.
Only school gym is like bowling and juggling.
Oh, great.
That was fun.
Not my day.
Yeah.
My day, there was chin-ups and push-ups all the way, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Samaritan.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, you know, it was good. Definitely good. It's just like, good night. Whatever. So, faith is that there's something missing. I don't care why, be unintentional, but there's still something missing. You're not reaching your potential. That's the first step of personal recognition. I come to the campus and listen, I'm not a bad person. That's not the goal to be
evil.
You know, that's not the goal. I'm not evil. I'm not a bad person. But I definitely am missing a lot of things. I have problems that I'm lacking that I need to correct. The biggest problem we have in our lives is not so much the things that we've done negative, the things we have in the positive. And that's so what our case is on the phone now. So we're going to recognize all of the missed opportunities that we have in life, which we haven't used. And that's it. So, and that fits very well with ideas. The victory is the recognition of I'm putting myself in the light. I'm casting myself down. I'm not anywhere near where I'm supposed to be. It doesn't come only from the negative. It comes maybe even more. It comes from the lack of the positive. Right. That's Vedu, okay? It's just some closer thought for the idea of Vedu. I don't see it being, at that point in time, I don't see it being very similar to the, not that I know so much about what they do in the confession room over there by the Christians, but from the Catholics. But,
I just want to say that my friend's like, I met a guy from Australia, so I was from Canada, so we were Australian there too. And he was like, you know, you go in there, you say something bad, and they're like, say, you know, you send me the rosary, and I don't get it.
Okay. Well, now, what we do have is the idea of Yom Kippur. Now, those are the words, we know what Yom means. Yom means day, or Kippur.
I'm hearing this comment as a translation, but it doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Or
so actually, there's a Rashi in the Chumash. Again, there's a Rashi in the Chumash. Rashi is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful favor. Rashi says the word kippur means, kippur means cleansing. Okay. But the Gemara says that your kippur gives you cleansing as long as you can chew. Actually, sorry, one of my friends was called a seed program. It was like a summer... Summer Medicine type of program, summer educational, something like enrichment, whatever, it's called seed. I don't know what it stands for, whatever.
Good
acronym. Good acronym. Just planting the seeds, you know. I said, when we do it in the winter, it comes up being a weed. That's the problem with that, right?
Oh.
All right, whatever. Okay. Anyway, so the guy's over there, and in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
And a fellow walks in, says, you know, you've done a lot of bad things, I want to repent. Okay, no problem. Let's go through, and like anything in Judaism, there's law. There's law, the Rambam has a section called the laws of repentance. And there's definitely the way you need to repent. What do you have to do to be able to repent? Exactly. So the guy, you know, so he's reading this with him, and says, the fellow's getting more and more at edge. And the fellow says, like, I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing, I just want to repent. He says, you know, but he says, you got the wrong religion. You know, repentance means you're going to change. Right? And apparently, you go and you say your confession, you're absolved, and you go and go, yes.
I think theoretically they're supposed to do the same thing.
Right.
It's not all that.
Right.
Cool about it.
Yeah.
I think it's the same theory.
Right. Yeah. So, he says, you got the wrong. He says, in this religion over here, buddy, you want to keep it words, you got to repent. Repent means stop doing what you're doing wrong. Number one, sorry. The Rama said there's four sections to repent. The first one is obviously stop doing it. Most logical thing. I feel bad that I don't keep Shabbos. Okay, that's great. So if I still want to keep your Shabbos, the rest of it, thank you very much. You know, first, okay, correct the problem. Step number one. Number two, I would like you to show some remorse for the fact that you haven't been doing right until now. Some type of repentance. So what? You feel bad the fact that you made a mistake. All right? Okay? The order is, first stop doing it and then feel remorse. Most people do the opposite. I feel bad about what I've done, but I don't change. Yes, no, let me just do that. Change. After you change, and you've gotten going for a little bit, you look back and say, you know what, that was really stupid what I was doing. Then you really understand how to feel bad. You can't really feel bad until you move out of the situation. You don't realize how bad the situation is until you step out of it.
Yeah, but feeling bad provides the motivation to change.
Right.
So what's the motivation for?
The motivation of changing is, right, feeling bad allows me to stop doing what I'm doing. What's the level which you want the person to be remorseful is not that.
Okay.
You want the person to get to the point that, you know, that was a stupid thing that I was doing. You can only recognize that, how stupid it is, so you walk away from it a little bit. You look at it, that was a stupid place to be. So the first step is correct your way. Second step is, okay, you'll tell me that was really stupid. Then you confess. Okay? So I verbalize to myself, because it has to be verbal. In our mind, you can play games. Well, I actually verbalize it. Words are much more concrete than just a thought. I verbalize and say, okay, I've done something wrong. And the Rambam says, the first step is I make some type of a commitment never to do this again. I get to the point where I really committed never to do it again. In other words, you guys, I changed. I'm not doing it. But where are you? I don't know where it's going to be 3 months from now. I definitely stopped and it changed, but I can't promise. No, no. The next step is get to the point where you can promise you're not doing it again. Honestly. You do that, your tikkun cleanses. So there is a cleansing process that takes place in your tikkun. Because whenever it turns out something wrong, besides the lack of what you're missing, right, if you picture a human being comes to this world and he has a purpose and he has a function, God gave that person a function, every time you do something wrong, right, which God says you shouldn't be doing, there's damage taking place. So it's not just there is a level of damage that you're damaging your soul. God says, I'll fix that for you. He's given us a chance, I'll fix that for you. I'll fix the problem for the soul. But I'm only going to do that if I hear you do your part. You commit to change. You commit to change as I'll cleanse you. Your kippah is a cleansing process, which atonement doesn't give you that feel. There's dirt there, but you want to clean out. There's still something in one place. That just thinking about your kippah alone is enough in his mind to prove that color some has. The idea that human beings have an opportunity to clean out his, you know, wouldn't you love to take your soul, send it to the direct leaders and come back clean? Everyone would, you know, hell is filled with dirt inside of him. Let's clean it out, no problem. That's wonderful. Imagine you didn't get that. Imagine if you were getting him once every 50 years. Right? Once every 50 years, you know, you're a chance, that opportunity to be cleansed. He was just like, this is the most exciting day of the year of my life.
Yeah.
Get it once or twice in a lifetime, you get a chance to be totally cleansed. You walk out feeling clean. Right? First of all, to walk away from the kipper, supposed to be dancing. You know, here in Yeshiva, we dance, but at the end of the kipper, we dance. Right? I remember the sitting, you always got to go, are you guys crazy?
Before or after?
Before. What are you doing? What do we want to do? Most exciting moment of the year. I hope like Dalma is supposed to bring your kipper. God is on his part. And I'm clean. You know, all that mess inside of me, all the problems, I can start life fresh. It's a wonderful feeling. You wake up in the morning, you know, and the room is brand new, it's fresh. The high point of the year is the last moment of your kipper. Is that moment, right, the kipper is finished and you've got your cleanse. And we, you know, we sing and we dance. You know, there'll be two guys a week, you know, and the entire thing. Most times, everybody gets into it. It's an exciting moment. Imagine once every 50 years. Imagine the excitement of that young kid. So, you know, God says, you know, and I give it every year, so then you don't value it, you know. Instead of giving it every once in 50 years, you know, you give it once in a year. Sort of guy, you know, I think it was a bad thing to say, blessing for taking God that his body functioned normally. So I remember once, you know, you only give it once a year. Christmas, that's strange thing to say, blessing. No, it's not.
It's not.
very think about this before, you know. Say, what's the symptoms of this? You know, imagine that you're in the hospital because you have problems with your bladder. It wasn't functioning.
No fun.
Right. It's not fun. Okay? And they do surgery. After much difficulty, they do a surgery, they finally go up and do the surgery, and it's not sure if it's going to work, and it works. You go to the bathroom the first time after that surgery. What do you want to do? You want to dance. You want to, thank God. You know, you want to just run down the hallway and scream, I can use the bathroom, you know? Right? So God was nice enough that he couldn't do the whole surgery, he just gave it to you without that. Shouldn't you thank him even more? And the guy had a mistake. You know, I was like, okay, I got your point, Rabbi. Gone, you know. But we don't think of those things. A person who is blind, and they had a surgery, he acquired eyesight. A person had cataract, they did surgery, somebody had a cataract, he could see. I had cataract surgery, both eyes. And he said glasses, I was really blind. I had problems with cataract. And then my first surgery. It was a crazy moment. And I took up the patch, and I could see normally. And I hadn't seen normally, I didn't realize how much I hadn't seen normally in years. And as it gets thicker and thicker, you know, the world gets duller and duller. I never saw white. I hadn't seen white in years. Whatever I saw was more like grayish yellow. I didn't realize that. And I remember I walked into the bathroom, the building over there, and there was white tiles on the wall. I was just staring there at these white tiles. I just it was so exciting. I was like, it's so white. But I hadn't seen white in so long a time. And I remember there was people walking by like,
what is he doing?
And I said, you know, I'm gonna say that blessing every morning for the eyesight with such excitement. Where's all? Where's all? So at least once a year, a person should say, you know, Kingdom Kippur shouldn't wear it. That excitement of the Kingdom Kippur, you know, at least when it's happening, once every year, I say, wow, you're Kippur. Once a year, if you're being able to, because the more dirt you have inside of you, the more it perpetuates itself. The dirtier you have, the dirtier I stay. Now, we all know, when your room is a mess, it just gets messier. You find it clean enough, it stays clean. Because you're motivated to keep it clean. Dirt breeds dirt. Cleanliness breeds cleanliness. So, you know, you don't want a dirty soul. That's going to breed more dirt. So the person says, you know, look what God did for me. Look, you know, he gave me a clean soul. He believes in me. He gave me this. Right? He says, you got a lot of potential. I recognize myself. I don't want to not use it. Let's do something with it. That leads into the excitement of the Sukkot celebration, really, which is excitement. Truly, the excitement of the Kippur who translated into the Sukkot. Okay, guys.
As a quick practical question.
Okay.
And then we go through the first individual practices. Is there a place to more detail on that? I know there's always something in those categories I've done, but it's so broad that it's...
I think over here he has, I'm not sure he has it over here. There's a very nice here.
Yeah, I saw this in here. It's still kind of broad. There is, this was helpful.
There's one in Hebrew. I'm not sure if it's translated to English. It's called the beauty of the Chizor. The Chizor made based on the Aleph phase. You know, when you got the Aleph, you did all those things, all the that start with an Aleph. The Bay, all the that start with a Bay. It's quite more lengthy. Quite, you know, it covers almost everything. I've never seen it in English.
It's, the reason is that I try to go back and think of what I've done.
Right.
And that's not the easiest thing in the world. And right. It's kind of a good reminder to go, oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that would be helpful. Then.
So one second. Maybe he has a little bit of a
I'm going to start.
Okay. This is
the mayor's rundown put up.
He actually takes a deeper. And the Hebrew one, he has the band. Nope. Doesn't have the Hebrew one he has in the back. That is. You know what you could look at? Not exactly the same. Does in English have something called the gates of repentance?
Okay.
Tell them to sit out. So four sections, four gates actually called. So gate number three is a list of sins.
Okay.
By level of severity. Not totally comprehensive, but it's fairly, it covers a lot. A lot of food for thought over there. I usually only get past, like, you know, number 15 or something.
Yeah, it's not really very fun reading it, though. Like, is it in the library anywhere?
I think we should have one in the small base members.
So the gates of...
It'll be 14.7.1.
What are the numbers?
We made up our own system because much more extensive. Alright, we'll start with the Shamnu, like I said over here. And then I'll list under that, I ate without a single blessing. I ate things I shouldn't eat. So
everything
right.
Without that.
Right.
Gotcha.
Then he says, and days is begotten. So we'll talk about, okay, I wasted my time from learning Torah. I was not proper to other people.
That would be really helpful.
So this is my Olive phase is a Hebrew.
Yeah, which is not going to help me.
Right. So I'm not aware that there's any translation of this in English. Maybe there is some, but I'm not aware of it. But he has a list there in the it's a very nice saver, actually. It's all about Shuvah. Okay, to repent it, yeah. It's all about Shuvah. It's really divided into four sections. Section number one is defines what is Shuvah. What are the points you need to do to have a full Shuvah. Second section is what are motivations why you want to do Shuvah. Why should you do Shuvah? Right. So I call the first section is how to do Shuvah, the second section is why to do Shuvah, and the third section is what the Shuvah about, and what are the list of the sins. And the fourth section is about how to get atonement. As opposed to the Shuvah process, now there's the atonement process. What can I do to get a cleansing, get a kapora. Very nice book, written by 800 years old. The classic. 14.7.1 of the classic.